Our great enemies have been conquered not by ourselves, but by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so we can make a joyful noise. We can make a glad shout.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We want to look at the 100th Psalm. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there. 100th Psalm is a psalm of joy, psalm of praise. Tremendous body of material in that psalm. We want to try to analyze some of the thoughts, at least, that seem to grow out of it. I would entitle it the Psalm of Joy. And begin by saying that Christians are people who have, ideally at least, a winsome attractiveness about them. And that attractiveness, which is to characterize Christians, is not essentially or primarily a physical attraction. It is the attraction that seems to attach itself to a spirit of joy and a spirit of praise. They have a winsome attractiveness about them because they have a spirit of joy and a spirit of praise all about them. We've said before that there's something morally and spiritually magnetic, something morally and spiritually magnetic about a body of praising and joyful people. And if that's the kind of people we are, a body of praising and joyful people, there will be a winsome attractiveness and beauty about us. For that kind of people, the New Testament imperatives regarding rejoicing and praising the Lord are very relevant, and to them they are very meaningful. Remember, the Bible says in the New Testament, by Him, that is by Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God. By Jesus Christ, let us therefore offer the sacrifices of praise to God. Continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name, Hebrews 13 and verse 50. And then Paul could say that very familiar verse that's sometimes very convicting to us, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hebrews says do it continually at all times. Thessalonians says do it in every circumstance, in everything. There's sort of a breathtaking circumference to that kind of an imperative. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the authors of the Bible knew that there was a solid foundation for these kinds of imperatives, both in the Old and in the New Testament. They knew that there was a solid foundation for these kinds of imperatives. In other words, the authors of the Bible were not trying to employ some kind of psychological hype to get people to be happy and excited and exhilarated and praising and joyful and thankful before the Lord. No, they weren't trying to employ some kind of psychological hype. The imperatives of the New Testament and the Old Testament that relate to praising God and being a joyful people are not based on emotional ecstaticism. That will not do. Emotional ecstaticism will not do. They are based on the solid foundation of certain theological underpinnings that are there because of the finished work, ultimately, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The authors of the New Testament knew that something had happened to the Christian man, to the Christian woman. And that something was deep. It was something that was eternal in its implication, something that was deeply and very meaningful. They had been converted. They had become new creatures in Christ. They had been eternally saved. They now had roots in eternity. And the effect of that was, the natural effect of that was that it evoked joy, it evoked praise, it evoked rejoicing. So the Bible says that God's people should be marked by a joyful and a thankful spirit. And I believe that's the burden of Psalm 100. God's people should be marked by a joyful and a thankful spirit. And the psalmist unfolds here a very familiar psalm. We're going over familiar terrain, a lot of these psalms, and yet they're precious ideas. And it's difficult for me to cough up any new ones. And I don't think really I want to do that. I just want to remind you some of the old ones, some of the ideas that perhaps are already part of your mind as you go over these psalms. But as I look at Psalm 100, it seems to me that the psalmist unfolds two significant insights with respect to our being a joyful and a thankful people. The first one has to do with verse 1. What I see, this is how I look at this psalm. One, the first thing I see is the summons to joy. We're summoned. We're called to joy. In effect, we're commanded to joy, to express joy, and to express praise and thankfulness. The summons to joy. That's in verse 1. He says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." The second thing I see is the source of joy. And that's kind of unfolded in the whole rest of that psalm, verses 2 to 5, and it's kind of a fourfold source. One, the service of God. If you're serving God, you're going to be rejoicing. Serve the Lord with gladness, the Bible says. And then the face of God. Come before His presence, literally His face. Come before His presence with singing. And then thirdly, the knowledge of God. That's verse 3. Know ye certain things, and the more you know of God's person, and the more you know of God's performance, His person and performance in your behalf, the more you'll rejoice. Fourthly, he says, the worship of God. Enter His gates and enter into His courts with praise and thankfulness and with blessing upon your lips. And as you worship God, He gives us the foundation of that worship. So first, let's look at the summons to joy, and that's in verse 1. The psalmist says, he says very simply, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." I see three things in that verse. To kind of expand this idea of the summons to joy, I see three things there. One, I see its substance. Make a joyful noise. Two, I see its subject, unto the Lord. And three, I see its scope, all ye lands. One, I want you to see its substance. Make a joyful noise. It's an interesting word. Ruach is the Hebrew verb. And it's a word which means a glad shout. Literally, it was used of a glad shout. It was the term which described two jubilant things. Make a joyful noise, make a glad shout. Ruach is the Hebrew verb, and that's what it means, to make a glad shout. And it was the term in the ancient world that described two jubilant things. One, jubilant victory, and two, jubilant loyalty. One, jubilant victory. Whenever an enemy was vanquished, the conquering army would let out with a glad shout. And whenever it let out with a glad shout, and that was recorded, this is the word that was used to record it, to describe it, ruach. It's the cry of the victor. A glad shout in battle. The enemy is vanquished. It was used in Joshua 6 in verse 10. You remember when the walls came tumbling down? The Bible says that Israel let out with a glad shout. They shouted and the walls collapsed. And there was a spirit of anticipation in that shout. They knew the victory was coming. It was a jubilant victory. And then it also means not only jubilant victory, but also jubilant loyalty. It's the kind of shout. This is how this word was used in the ancient world, ruach. It's the kind of shout that loyal subjects would give out when their king appeared in their midst. The door was open or the curtain was drawn back, and into the midst of the loyal subjects came the king. And in the moment he appeared in their presence, they let out a glad shout. That's the word that's used here. It described these two jubilant things, jubilant victory and jubilant loyalty. And that's exactly the very same thing that you and I let out a glad shout about. Christians are people whose great enemies have been conquered. We're victors. We're more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our great enemies have been conquered not by ourselves, but by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so we can make a joyful noise. We can make a glad shout. The penalty of sin, the Bible says, Colossians 2:14, the penalty of sin has been canceled. The powers of Satan have been conquered, Colossians 2:14, Colossians 2:15. Because that is true, we are a victorious people. We can let out a glad shout. And because that is true, we are a blindly loyal people. Whatever Jesus Christ says, we do it. We don't even stop to ask the reason why. We never ask the reason why. We just know He knows what's best, and He never induces an unnecessary tear. And whatever Jesus Christ of Nazareth says in the Bible, we do it. We're blindly loyal to the Son of God. And that's exactly what that word means. It means jubilant victory and jubilant loyalty. With a glad shout, you and I announce to the world jubilant victory and jubilant loyalty to Jesus Christ. Now you notice its subject, its substance, it's a glad shout. This summons to joy. Its subject, the Bible says, make a glad shout or a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Lord is both the object and the subject of our praise. He's the object in the sense that we direct it to Him. He's the subject in the sense that He's the principal theme of it. If we didn't have the Lord, we wouldn't have anything to be praising about. He's the principal theme of our praise. And you notice he says, it's unto the Lord. You notice all capitals there? All capitals? That means behind that English word Lord, where all capitals are used, the lowercase is not used, but the uppercase is all capitals. That means Jehovah, Yahweh. Yahweh is a very precious name. We don't want to take too much time on it because we looked at it in our study of Psalm 145. But Yahweh or Jehovah is the name for God, which means two things. And both of them induce joy. One, Yahweh is the name which speaks of his vitality. He's alive. Jehovah is the living God. In fact, the very, as I said before in Psalm 145, the very word Yahweh or Jehovah is built off the verb to be, Hayah. It means that he's the living God. Our God is the God who is. That's important to me. I hope it is to you. Our God is the God who is. He has being. He has substance. He has existence. He's the eternally self-existent God who always acts with unfettered ability and absolute independency. Our God has substance to him. Now that's important in a world which worships false gods, because all false gods are dead gods. But our God is alive. He has vitality. He's the Lord. He's Yahweh. And he also has not only vitality, but it also speaks of intimacy. Jehovah or Yahweh is not only the living God, he's the loving God. In other words, our God is not only the God who has being, he's the God who has benevolence. He's burdened and concerned for our well-being. Jehovah is the name that's commonly associated with the covenant-keeping and the redeemer relationships of God with his people. It speaks of his faithful presence. Thank God for his faithful presence, his nearness, his compassion, and his redemptive purposes in each of our lives. So the Christian rejoices, and the theme or the subject of his rejoicing is the living and the loving God, the God who is and the God who cares about his subject. You notice finally its scope there in verse 1, all ye lands. Its substance, make a joyful noise. Its subject, unto the Lord. Its scope, all ye lands. It means that in every land, Jehovah's goodness is seen. Therefore, in every land, Jehovah's name should be praised. The world will never be in its proper condition until with one unanimous shout it worships and it loves the Lord, until it makes a joyful noise unto the Lord. Nor will you and I be in our proper condition until we are prepared to make a joyful noise, a glad shout unto the Lord. One unanimous shout. We reverence and love and obey and cheerfully serve our God. But before the world learns to do that, I think Christians must learn to do that. And tragically, there are enough Christians that do it. The world is not letting out with a glad shout with respect to Yahweh. And unfortunately, not enough Christians are. Praise is universal in its implications, all ye lands. But we don't want to get lost in the anonymous quality of that phrase, all ye lands. How about all ye people? Every one of us individually has the privilege and the responsibility to praise the Lord. All of God's people in every circumstance of life must learn to praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.